Good morning, everyone.
Sure.
You want to introduce? Okay, I can start. Okay, all right. Frank Xiao. I'm a new faculty of civil engineering at the University of North Dakota. And today, I want to share with you our recent results about soil contamination by two emerging contaminants, perfluorooctane sulfonate, PFOS, and perfluorooctanoate, PFOA. And environmental contaminants has drawn a lot of attention, not only from environmental chemists, but from toxicologists, and tons of studies have been done since 1970s about industrial chemicals like PCBs, pesticides, DDT, and heavy metals. We have known quite a lot about the environment behaviors and environment toxicity, environmental chemistry, so they're collectively called emerging legacy contaminants. But there is another group of contaminants that haven't known much about it, and have heard about three talks this morning about pharmaceuticals and inducing disrupting chemicals. And there is another group emerging contaminants that I'm particularly interested in, that is perfluorochemicals, like PFOS and PFOA. As shown by their structures, these chemicals have fairly long perfluorocarbon carbon chain. The number of carbon fluorine bond fluorine chain can be varied from 4 to 12. And at the end of the chain is attached with sulfonic final group and carboxyl group, thereby we have perfluorinated sulfonic acids and perfluorooctanate carboxylic acids. Among these two groups, perfluorooctane sulfonate, PFOS, and perfluorooctanate, PFOA, are two widely detected perfluorochemicals in both environmental and human blood samples. These chemicals are very useful. They have been used in many in a wide range of industry and commercial applications, such as fast food containers and waterproof clothing and to stain resistant carpeting, nasty cookware. And the problem is with these chemicals, as you can see from their structure, the carbon fluorine bond is perhaps the strongest bond in organic chemistry. Therefore, once released to the environment, they will be persistent over there. So far, there's no evidence showing that they can be degraded in the natural environment. And they also accumulate in human blood samples, human blood, and they're generally harmful. And this map shows the occurrence of perfluorochemicals in human blood samples in different countries, including the United States. Actually, these chemicals, PFOS and PFOA, have found in 95% of human blood samples of the general U.S. population. And this figure, summarized from the national-wide biomonitoring results, it's PFOS here, PFOS and PFOA, their concentrations of 10, perhaps 100 times than other contaminants. And this data are the concentration PFOS, PFOA in human blood samples, in thousands of human blood samples collecting from everywhere in this country. So we can see they're widespread in human blood samples, the concentration are much higher, very high, quite high. So. And in a study about perfluorochemicals removal by drinking water treatment, we found that the removal efficiency of these chemicals by conventional coagulation is very low, less than 20%. Even in the enhanced coagulation range, the removal efficiency is still less than 35%. Enhanced coagulation is technology to increase the coagulant dosage to improve the removal efficiency of contaminants, mostly the precursors of disinfectant byproducts. You can see the removal efficiency is very low, suggesting that the drinking water could be major exposure route. Not only drinking water, but wastewater treatment plants were found is also not effective to remove these chemicals. We sampled perfluorochemicals in 37 wastewater treatment plants across the state of Minnesota. What I found is quite high concentrations of perfluorochemicals in many wastewater treatment plants. The axis of concentrations of wastewater treatment plants, these are different wastewater treatment plants. And very interestingly, we found the concentrations for certain wastewater treatment plants for PFOS and PFOA, the concentration increase from the effluent to effluent. From effluent to influent. That doesn't make sense because wastewater treatment plants are supposed to decompose organic compounds. We expect to see concentration decrease from the influent to effluent. Now here we saw the opposite, the concentration increase, suggesting two things. First, with the water treatment plants is not an effective way to remove these chemicals. Otherwise, we'll see concentration decrease. And there is a project proposed by Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. They want to collect the contaminants leachate sent to wastewater treatment plants. But that would be a very bad decision because, as based on our results, wastewater treatment plants not efficiently remove these proper chemicals. Instead, we're going to see concentration increase, and you are going to spread this contamination from Minnesota to other locations. Secondly, this result shows that this wastewater plant receive a whole bunch of precursors that can biodegradable to perfluoroalkyl chemicals. And one of my research topic in future to identify these precursors, perfluoroalkyl chemical precursors. What are they and how they get converted to perfluoroalkyl chemicals in both natural and environmental, natural and engineered systems. And not many studies have done about perfluoroalkyl chemicals in soil, perhaps because these chemicals are known to be hydrophilic. And we'll look at perfluoroalkyl chemicals in soil and groundwater in Twin Cities, in here, actually. We sampled for perfluoroalkyl chemicals, surface soil from 28 sites and around two known contaminant sources. One is the former manufacturing facility in East St. Paul, another one is historical landfill or dumping site. Receiving this industrial waste from this manufacturing facility in 1940s to 1950s, you will see later, even after half a century, this site still contribute contamination of perfluoroalkyl chemicals in surrounding areas, even after 6 years later. All right, this is the results: perfluoroalkyl chemicals, PFOS and PFOA in surface soil around in this area. And the concentration, this results modeled by, represented by control map, modeled by Kerenjing method. The top method shows the concentration PFOS in the surface soil, and the bottom figure shows the concentration PFOA in surface soil. And you can see the color around these two contaminant soils clearer, darker than other locations, concentration higher. Also interestingly, the concentration in a downwind direction, this figure shows the wind dominant wind direction in Twin Cities. The downwind direction, the color is darker than the upwind direction, suggesting that tells me the wind erosion of soil can also contribute transport contaminant soil to other locations. And since we found perfluoroalkyl chemicals in soil, so the next step is to estimate the exposure, how important the contamination is to the public health. As first step, we calculate the soil screening level. That is the risk-based intervention concentration, which if exceeded may prompt further specific risk assessment. And we consider two scenarios. One is direct exposure corresponding to ingestion, inhalation, skin absorption. We calculate the concentration for SSL for PFOS is 6,000 nanogram per gram soil. Another scenario, indirect exposure, that means the contamination moves from surface soil to groundwater, and if you take the groundwater and get exposed to the perfluoroalkyl chemicals. For another indirect scenario, we found that SSL is only 3 nanogram per liter for soil. Looking at the reported data of perfluoroalkyl chemicals in soil, including our data, majority of the data are in the range from 3 to 6 thousand this level, suggesting direct exposure to contaminant soil is not likely to be serious health concern by direct exposure, ingestion, the contaminant particles, and skin absorption. However, since this level is above this 3 nanogram per gram, suggesting the indirect exposure, contamination moving from soil to groundwater, that could be causing the concern for the public health. And we measured the concentration of perfluoroalkyl chemicals in subsurface soil, found the concentration increases from subsurface soil towards groundwater, suggesting the contaminant does move towards groundwater. And we estimate the retardation in the unsaturated zone, from the retardation is not very high, but moderate, is 18 to 64, suggesting some level retardation in the unsaturated zone travel from soil to groundwater. Since they found in the subsoil, and estimate measure the concentration in groundwater in 10 wells around this contaminated site here, 10 wells. And this results for 7 perfluoroalkyl chemicals. X axis are distance from this contaminant site, landfill, the wax is a concentration in groundwater. You can see the concentration decreases dramatically from the location close to this contaminated salt to only 1,500 meters away from that, decreased by a factor of 100. So wondering what happens caused this dramatic decrease concentration. We know natural attenuation, there's three mechanisms: dispersion, diffusion, or dilution, or absorption of aquifers. It'd be important for PCB DDTs, and also like chemical biological degradation. As I mentioned earlier, there's no way for perfect chemicals PFOA can be degraded in the environment because carbon fluorine bonds are very stable. So the third mechanism is not applicable for this case. So absorption, how about absorption to aquifer solids? The estimated retardation in the aquifer from the retardation is only a close to one, means for this hydrophilic compounds in groundwater, and there's no much retardation. So the second mechanism is also not likely to cause the concentration decrease from the contaminant salt to only 1,500 meters away from the site. So I believe it has to do due to the dilution, simply dilution by groundwater. So we found this chemicals in soil and groundwater, next step to estimate the exposure level. What we did is by Monte Carlo simulation. This is powerful technique as estimate, not only taking account of the variabilities like bottle weight and ingestion level, exposure frequency. It doesn't give you a single point of data, it gives you results, it gives you a distribution. This figure shows the x-axis exposure level and y-axis probability. As you can, we did for two profile chemicals, PFOA and PFOS. As you can see, groundwater is far more important exposure medium than soil, which consistent with the soil screen level results, suggesting direct exposure is not likely to cause public health concern, but indirect exposure, drinking contaminated groundwater, is likely to cause health concern. Okay, in summary, like many emerging contaminants, perfluoroalkyl chemicals are polar, hydrophilic. They can be present in the water phase, and they're ubiquitous present in the natural environment, and they're harmful. And we still know very little about these compounds, and we need some tools in addition to analytical chemistry, like a geographic information system, to identify the transport pattern from the sources to other locations. All right. This is my presentation. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Okay.
For questions.
Time for questions.
I do.
You showed, I think, in the early slides that there was seemingly a plume from the contaminated site. So it looked like it might be downwind. Does that mean dust? Or does the ground slope in that direction? Could it be runoff or what?
Unfortunately, we don't have enough data. This is a very interesting question. Whether it's due to the wind erosion or due to the runoff, we need more data to confirm which way, which mechanism is the more important. Thank you for the question.
From your leaching data, also the hydrophilic property, you still observe quite a bit of PFOA, PFOS, PFOS. After 6 years, what's the reason why they still on the surface? I would expect, you know, getting the groundwater and getting to the top surface, it's still quite big.
That's an excellent question. There are two possible reasons. After 6 years, we still found high concentrations, much higher than reported data in other locations, suggesting first, this dumping site received too much perfluoroalkyl chemicals. Secondly, it could be due to the conversion of precursors to these chemicals during the transport by soil microorganisms. Still, we need more data to confirm that. Thank you for the question.
Okay.
There are about a paper published 2 years ago. That paper summarized more than 100 perfluoroalkyl chemicals. So there is still very active area. People still working hard to find out what the precursors are. To analyze these chemicals, you not only need one MS. Probably you need two MS, HPLC MS. So it's not an instrument every university can have, can afford to have. So, but a good question. Thanks.
Sir?
Because next topic cancel again, the chair allow us to ask more questions.
Okay, sir. Okay.
So, with traditional, conventional organic contaminants, we do have a way to predict, for example, QW. They are either absorbed partition behavior in the soil and transfer. The P4, they do not have something like that because simply they don't like oil either.
Yeah, they don't like oil.
With water optimal partition, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, any idea, any you would have a major parameter to predict people, people's their behavior in soil sediment, like something like QW.
You guys are asking excellent questions. There's some way to predict, but calculation by based on the because it's have very long carbon for long chain, you can calculate the KW for chemicals without this polar functional group, totally hydrophobic. And by including this hydrophilic functional group, I may do some calculation. I'm not exactly sure, but you're right. This chemical doesn't have KW. You cannot marry them. Let's make prediction of whether it's chemicals are very difficult. So,
okay, any more questions?